Good morning. We are together again after some long pauses. Welcome to the visitors that are here. We're delighted to have you with us. Today's Sunday school lesson is taken from Matthew 22. And when I flipped open to Matthew 22, I started reading beginning of the chapter. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like..." And then all of a sudden I stopped because I realized that we often run right into the parable because that's the cool story part, you know. But we skip some things. That kingdom of heaven thing, what is that? And, you know, we often read that and that heaven word gets a little confusing because it's used in a bunch of different ways. And so many of Jesus' parables, especially Matthew, start with the kingdom of heaven is like. But it's... doesn't make sense if you're thinking about some place up in the clouds where we go after we die. But the kingdom of heaven, what is it? I pulled out my lexicon and began to look at the words in that phrase, the kingdom of heaven. And the lexicon said that the word kingdom can be directly translated as royal dominion or reign. So in Matthew 22, the royal dominion of heaven is like... Well, I continued to read, and it said this phrase is directly connected with the phrase that's generally used in all the other Gospels, which is the kingdom of God. The reason that Matthew used heaven is that he was writing to a primarily Jewish audience. The Jews avoided using the name of God as much as possible because they didn't want to take the name of God in vain. They didn't want to repeat it frequently and misuse it. So they would frequently substitute in other words to represent God. And one of the words that they frequently substituted was heaven, meaning the place where God lived and God himself. And so here in Matthew, we have the royal dominion or the reign of God is like, and Jesus goes on with this parable. The lexicon also pointed me to Daniel chapter 2. Many of you are probably familiar with the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. He had this dream where he saw a statue. And it had a head of gold and chest of silver and bronze and on down to iron and the feet of clay and iron mixed. And this is almost universally interpreted as the series of empires that ruled most of the known world for quite a significant years of world history. And the ending kingdom... representing in the legs of iron and then the feet of clay and iron being the Roman Empire and its breakup into individual nations. Now, we often read this passage and look at it and connect it to world history, and it's a really cool prophecy. And it's amazing to see that prophecy carried out so clearly in world history. But then we go to verse 44 of Daniel chapter 2. In the time of those kings... the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. This prophecy giving a chronology of world history of who will reign on earth directly after nations coming out of the Roman Empire, we have the prediction of another nation. In the time that those kings of that last group of nations is still reigning, God is going to set up another nation that will never, ever be destroyed. And in fact, it will be so great that it will be like the rock in the dream that rolled down the hill and smashed to pieces all the other nations. My lexicon directly connected this idea of the kingdom of God, the reign of God, to this last kingdom in Daniel. In the time of Jesus, people's identity was connected not so much with this kind of vague idea of a nation, but more directly with a ruler. When they talked about being a citizen of a particular country, it was less about some kind of nation, what's a nation? Well, it's made up of people. Well, it's people who have a connecting idea, a connecting identity. And in Jesus' time, and until fairly recently, actually, the idea of nationhood was more about who you served than it was a nation that you were a part of. You were a part of a nation because of your identity. I am a subject of this particular king. And so when Jesus talks about being part of the kingdom of God, he's talking about his identity being found in his ruler, his king, or our king, him, and his father, God. And so when Jesus begins to teach about, in parables, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is like, you and I, who are part of God's kingdom, the church, who is this new, the new empire that came after the feet of clay and iron, who is the rock that will have greater power than all the other kingdoms. We who are the church are part of that kingdom. We are part of the reign of God, the rule of God. We are, our identity is found in the nation of God. And so as we begin to look at this parable of Jesus today in our Sunday school lesson, we need to think in terms of what do we, as God's people, need to understand about our nation, about our king, and the way he wants us to live as his citizens from this parable. Jesus, I pray that as we gather together today, you would teach us more of what it means to live as good, true, committed citizens of the kingdom of heaven. I pray that your spirit would be among us and that you would guide us to find you in our presence. Amen.